Welcome to the Solution Focused Schools Unlimited podcast series. My name is Dr. Linda Metcalf, and I'm the author of Counseling Towards Solutions, the first book published in 1995 that took the solution-focused approach into schools from pre-K through 12th grade all around the world. Now, in its third printing, it is being published by Routledge. You can purchase it by going to routledge.com. This is a unique podcast that I'm recording today. I'm actually sitting in my car outside an elementary school where I just watched an excellent solution-focused guidance lesson given by my school counseling intern at the university. He did a super job. That's not the point of this podcast. The point was that when I walked into the classroom today, I saw something that was very distressing. The first thing I saw was a little boy sitting at his desk facing the wall next to the front door of the classroom with a sign above his head on the wall that said, "I will follow directions!" exclamation point in large letters. The little boy, head was on the desk, didn't budge when I walked in. I tried to say hello, didn't budge. My school counseling intern walked over to him, put his hand on his shoulder, and said, "Hey, buddy, would you like to join me? I'm going to be sitting on the floor with your friends and reading a book. I think you might like it." The little boy barely moved. He sat with his face down on the desk. So my intern went ahead and gathered the other students in the classroom, kept looking over at the little boy, hoping he would join them. But when he did not, he went ahead and started the lesson and went ahead and had a terrific lesson. The lesson was about being left out. The intern had a great book about a little boy who was invisible. And he showed characters of the book to the children sitting on the floor. Many of the children were colored in. But yet Brian, the little boy who was left out, was gray. And as the intern read the book, he said, "Everyone, I wonder why Brian is feeling gray." And the students would sit and listen. And he said, "Because he feels invisible." What is it do you think he needs, students, to feel less invisible? And that started up a conversation, which was excellent. Then the intern had the students do an exercise. They were to move around while he played music on his phone. And find groups of three or four. And then the music stopped. And he would look around and see if there was anyone left out. And when there were kids who were left out because they were not finding their place in groups, he said, "Let's do it again. This time, let's remember, how do we ask to join people's groups? How do we offer for people to join us in groups? Let's do that. And let's practice again." And so they practiced again and again. And after a while, everyone seemed to get it. At one point, the little boy sitting at the desk looked up and walked over to try to participate. He was doing fine. Apparently, the teacher didn't think so. So she marched him right back over to his desk. And on the way, he knocked over a few pencils. And I was thinking to myself, yeah, I'd probably be knocking them over too. He sat down, put his head down. And then as he was sitting there, he still wanted to get up and tried to get up another time to go participate. The teacher, again, very upset, distressed with him, walked over to him, tapped him on the shoulder, walked out of the classroom with him, and walked him down to the office. At the end of the lesson, my student and I talked about it. What went on in this classroom today that worked? What happened next, though? Is even more interesting. After the class, my school counselor and I walked out to the hallway and discussed a little bit how the guidance lesson went. I shared with him how happy I was with the way that he delivered the book, and the kids were so invested and engaged, and acted so well in class and did all the activities so well, and he demonstrated for them through several activities that included music how to not leave people out. And he had them debrief afterwards and talk about the importance of not leaving people out. He did an excellent job. I wanted him to know how much I appreciated what he did. He made it into a very solution-focused guidance lesson, and it was just marvelous. And then I asked him, you know, let's talk a little bit about the little boy who was in the room who tried to pay attention but wasn't allowed to. He said, yes, Dr. Metcalf, I know about the little boy. He said, I taught here last year, and that little boy has witnessed several murders in his life, and he does act out at times. He said, but he should have never been against that wall like that. I said, yeah, what do you think instead would have been better? He said, he needed to have been given a chance to tell us what he needed in that classroom that day. Maybe he was acting up, but maybe instead of punishing him so quickly and humiliating him like was done, it would have been a lot better, I think, if the teacher had talked to him and say, look, looks like you're having a tough day today. What can we do as we go back into class together to help you stay on track? I was so proud to hear my school counseling student tell me this, because it meant that he had the ability, which I had been hoping my students had the ability that I teach the approach to look beyond the problems and see that a human being is inside that child. And that human is an expert on what they need. Many times our teachers today get very frustrated with students, such as the teacher in that classroom. I have no doubt that that teacher had intentions to assist that student to behave well, hopefully so that he could learn well in her classroom. And to me, it was just another illustration of the great, great need there is to share new approaches with teachers and staff, administrators, that while at times will be needing a consequence, but also need to have a chance to rehabilitate possibly and help the student find ways on their own with our guidance, with our conversation and kindness and respect, ideas on their own of how they can make things better for themselves. You know, when we give kids a chance to tell us what they need, most of the time the answer is, I don't know, because they're not used to being asked that question, everyone, which is why we need to be asking that question. This podcast is going to continue for the next few minutes and share with you some ideas on how to approach teachers such as the one I've witnessed today in a way that is respectful, with a solution-focused mindset, seeing that teacher too as an expert who might need to dig into some things that maybe she hasn't dug into for a while, maybe some personal attributes, some personal skills, some abilities to be kind and respectful in spite of the fact that she gets frustrated with kids. That's coming up next. You know, I get lots of emails about subjects like this, where school counselors such as yourselves or administrators such as yourselves are concerned about our colleagues, our teachers, who face so many challenges every single day. Heaven knows this past 2 years has been difficult, and particularly this year, coming back after such a long time away face-to-face. Teachers are leaving the profession. They don't know what to do. They're trying to survive. I get that. So how do we help them, everyone? Here I am sitting in my car doing this podcast because I was so distressed, and I knew that I needed to process how I was thinking and think about what I might have said as a school counselor to the teacher if I had been employed there, and ask her some questions out of concern and care for the student first, and then for her. I've often been accused of being a student advocate. Well, you know, I am very proud to be accused of being a student advocate because they are my focus. But so are the dear educators that work with them every single day. So if I had my way, and I would have had a chance after the teacher came back to class, and maybe I was just kind of walking through the hall and saw things happening, and maybe I saw her upset, which I did see her upset that day in class at the young man. I might have said, wow, seems like you're having a kind of a stressful day. Would you like some company? And she might have said, yeah, that kid continues to make me crazy in class and just not follow directions, and I can't teach very well with him doing that. Oh, I said, wow, that must be awful. I know that you're the kind of teacher that really, really wants to do well and give students the very, very best. Would you be open to us talking about that for a minute? Because I noticed that little boy when I walked in, and when he walked out with you, and then when he came back into class later, I noticed him sitting there and head down on the desk, and I wonder, what were your best hopes for him in doing what you did? And I'd listen to her answers. And then I might say, well, has that worked before for you to put him up against a wall with a sign? Well, not really. I'm looking for all kinds of answers. He's got a terrible background. I said, it does sound like it. He does. What else have you tried maybe with other children? I know you've taught a long time, Miss Johnson. What else have you tried with other children or even friends at times that just do things that makes you a little bit aggravated, and but yet you love those friends? What have you done? And maybe she would have told me something like, well, with friends, I just kind of talk to them and say, look, you're really making me crazy. Can we do something else here? And I'm your friend. What can I do together with you? Teachers have actually told me that before when I've asked them questions like that. Some of the best strategies have come from what we do with other people in our lives, particularly people that we are so close to and that we adore and love. Chances are we wouldn't put Aunt Sue, who at times who makes us crazy, next to a wall with a sign above her. We might talk to Aunt Sue. We might hug Aunt Sue. We might say, hey, Aunt Sue, you're so important to me. Hey, something going on with you? These personal strategies can work in situations like the one I saw today. If I had my way, the teacher might have escorted the young man out into the hallway, got down maybe on one knee to be eye level with him because she was very tall and he was very short, and say, hey, look, I'm having a really hard time teaching today, and I really want you in my class, Roberto. What can you and I do so we can get through the next 15 minutes together so that you can learn some things and I can teach? What do you think? This kind of engagement, everyone, can be priceless. And I'm not just saying this today because it's a wish I have. It's because of experiences I have had with teachers who learned to do what I just said. My hope as you listen to this podcast today is that you keep in mind the three questions of the solution-focused approach that I've been talking to you about in this podcast and in every SF connection I've done since March 2020. Here are those steps again. Number one, what are your best hopes? No matter what's going on with the teacher, student, parent who are upset, Listen, and then say, so what are your best hopes? What are you hoping to achieve? What's your wish? Number two, what is the preferred future? What are you hoping to accomplish? How will you know someday when it's better? And number three, exception hunting. That one's optional, but it is a great way to think about children like the one I'm talking about today, and the times of the day when maybe he was engaged, he was following directions. And then when we see it, we go crazy over it and say, oh my gosh, look at you, Roberto. It was so awesome the way you did that assignment. I saw that you did every single thing in order. I'm so excited. And Roberto, who's not used to that, might just look up in awe and go, huh, maybe I can do it. The three steps. Use them interchangeably, but always start off with best hopes. Always think about what am I trying to achieve? Because unless you've got a direction, you can't get there. So to engage or disengage, what's our purpose? Tread carefully, everyone. I know that many of your teachers are stressed and they've had a tough year. And as a result, our kids are feeling it. You know, I've said before in many of the workshops I do that schools are just like families. And as a family therapist, I truly believe that when the hierarchy is out of whack, and when the hierarchy, and by that I mean our staff, our teachers, our administrators, when they're stressed and challenged, students don't feel as safe and they act out. The same as kids do in families, when mom and dad or dad and mom and or mom and dad are stressed. The same thing happens. So what do? We work with the hierarchy. Be careful. Approach with care, but please approach, because situations as discussed in this podcast should not be happening. I think, again, it is because many of our teachers are not equipped with things that they need today. But everyone, the solution-focused approach is just another tool that I really believe with all of my heart could make a difference for them. Share it with them over the next week. When you see a teacher stressed, or when you see a teacher forget to be the kind human being you know they are, step in and offer to be that friend. And do one more thing. If you notice a teacher who seems to have really had a rough year, walk by his or her classroom on occasion. Notice things that they're doing well. Anything. It could be the bulletin board. It could be the way the kids are gathering in groups. And then go back to your office and put pen to paper, not email. Write a note to them. A note like this. Dear Miss Johnson, I walked by your classroom this morning. What a lovely bulletin board you have. I watched your students. They were engaged in a conversation. Looks like they were having fun and they were interested. As they walked to the cafeteria today, I noticed how they were happy and smiling. And you were too. I wanted you to notice that I noticed. You are an important part of our school. You are part of the heart of our school. And sign it anonymous. You might be surprised by the results. May the solution force be with you. Thank you for listening. Letting you know that the next SF Connection on April the 28th will be all about testing. It's that season, isn't it? Why not use a solution-focused approach to lessen anxiety and make everyone calm before the test? Might just make a difference on the scores and the morale of everyone. So go to solutionfocusschool.com and register for that SF Connection. Also, think about your professional development for fall 22. I'm now doing scheduling for presentations, whether virtual or in person, throughout the United States. Email me at lmetcalf62@gmail.com to see if I can accommodate your school and help them to become more solution focused in the 22-23 school year.